Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning. And Joe, you know I love me some college football. Love college football just about as much as I love anything in the sporting world. But I'm getting nervous about what's going on surrounding COVID-19 and everything surrounding the world of college football. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in Ryan McGee from ESPN. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I'm just, so you know, I feel exactly the same way that you do. So we'll see.
Ryan, as you kind of view what's going on right now, and particularly what stood out to me anyway the last couple weeks, has obviously been Major League Baseball without the bubble and everything that's come up with the Phillies and the Cardinals and the Marlins. When you take that into account and then look ahead to a potential college football season in the fall, what are kind of your thoughts on the prospects of what we might see or not see when it comes to college football this fall?
Well, what I have said all along, and this goes all the way back to April, is what I have said from the jump when we all had to go in our houses and lock the door, is that is going to happen in college football was going to be dictated by what happened on the college campuses. And, you know, I keep throwing this example out but because I think it's a good one. But, you know, we all like to think, because we all live in the sports world, that, you know, college football runs everything and, you know, the budgets are huge and front porch of the university and all that. And it's true to a point. But the example I use is University of Florida. At the University of Florida, they have 103 football players, and their budget for the entire athletic department is about $145, $150 million. And they're easily one of the most successful athletic departments across all sports of the last 20 years. The student body at the University of Florida is 55,000 on-campus students. And the budget for the university last year was $6 billion. So at the end of the day, football is a speed bump. And so when the college students all start moving in the dorms at most of the big state schools, they start doing that next week. That's the reason that we're seeing launch dates of seasons of August 19th and August 26th and almost September 19th and 26th, almost into October, because they're going to wait and see what happens on the university campus. And you guys know, just like I know, that if college students act like college students, this is not going to be a great situation when it comes to trying to slow down the spread of anything. And so that's the part that I've been screaming all along. And so, you know, you hate to scream more patience, but the reality is that we're going to know a lot more a month from now than we do now, because the students will have been okay. And this is the concern that the college football players of the Pac-12 and the SEC, we know now, they've been very vocal about, and I think it's a super, super valid concern.
Yeah, you mentioned the Pac-12, Ryan. Obviously, press release, I guess it was released on the Players Tribune yesterday initially, but several players from the Pac-12 kind of come together, put out a list of comments with some personal, you know, stories, but also a list of demands. What's your initial takeaway from, you know, what they're asking for and how you think that will play out?
Well, it was a long list of concerns, but the most urgent right now, and we learned about this, you know, with the conference call that happened with the SEC, representatives of each SEC team player-wise, and representatives from the conference and medical officials and all that. And, you know, their biggest – they have broader concerns, as we all do these days, with, you know, thankfully, you know, the much more vocal Black Lives Matter movement and the demand for social change. But the immediate concern right now is, and this is at the top of the list for everyone, especially the list of demands from the Pac-12 athletes, which is they need assurances that their safety is first and foremost, and that they're not just, you know, one of the players use the word lab rat And, you know, they want to make sure that everything's being done to keep them safe. And I think that's a really, really, I mean, it's the most basic thing is, are you taking care of me? Because that's what you promised when you stood in my living room and told my mom and dad that if I came and played football here, I'd be taken care of. And so that's their biggest concern, is just making sure that they're not going to be put in a position where, you know, it's going to be dangerous for them, but more importantly to them, it's going to be dangerous for their families, you know, when they go home. And so the concern, again, what you heard from the athletes and what you're hearing from the athletes, it's not about being in the football building. It's not about being in the workout room. It's not about being in the meeting room. It's about sitting in history class. And those are the concerns that the players have had. And, again, I think it's 100% justified. And there hasn't been a great answer yet. And one of the athletes said during the SEC call on Wednesday, you know, the Washington Post had the transcript of it, and one of the athletes said, this isn't good enough. And so that's where the concern is. And now, you know, it's time for people to start moving into dorms. And the football players are already on campus. They're already in buildings. They've been there since June 1st, most of them. But now the other 35,000 students are coming, and that's where it gets tense.
Ryan McGee on the line with us from ESPN. And, Ryan, you wrote a great piece about, you know, how the word normal in college football doesn't really apply this year, including a great encounter with a fan on the beach. You can check that out at ESPN.com. But as college football fans, as you know, Ryan, in the Nashville area, college football is a huge deal around here. People are very passionate about it and want to be optimistic about their beloved sport taking place. What would kind of your advice be, or what your thoughts are as a college football fan, and how to view what could happen, whether it's in the fall or in the spring, and what the optimism level should be?
Well, I think that suddenly, you know, I think a lot of the people who were skeptical about the whole flatten the curve idea probably now understand why that was important. And, you know, a lot of people were screaming back in April and May. You know, I know it's not any fun to have to stay 6 feet apart and to not get to see your friends and family and to have to wear a mask when it's 98 degrees outside. But the reality is that because the numbers aren't flattened, like we were, if everything could continue the way it was in April and May, we'd be playing football and not even having any question about it. We might just, you know, be cutting fans in half and that's it. But now, you know, what I tell everyone is that I know it's a pain in the butt. But, you know, it was that running joke, right, on all social media, the meme that was going around. It said if you told an SEC football fan that if they wore their mask for 6 weeks, they'd get their football back. And a lot of people haven't done that. And it is what it is. And then this thing got politicized, and it's just crazy to me. Greg Sankey said it to us on Marty McGee just a couple weekends ago when he now infamously, famously threw out that he was not – super optimistic about a season happening this year. And the reason was because, you know, somehow or another, what you needed to do for your health or for the health of those around you turned into a political thing, as everything does these days. And as a result, you know, I put the chances of us starting the football season at maybe 50% and completing the football season at less than that.
So if you were made commissioner of this sport, which I would be in favor. I'd vote for you, by the way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you could just say, "Hey, let's move this to the spring. Maybe there'll be a vaccine, better treatments, a chance for more fans, or let's push through right now and see what we can do." What would your decision be?
I'm a spring. I'm all about playing it in the winter and spring. I want it in the fall. There's no one that wants it in the fall more than I do, but. What everyone I talk to about this, whether it's a coach, whether it's Greg Sankey, whether it's medical experts, everyone I've talked to about this, they all say the same thing and have been told the same thing, which is, you know, you have to put time on your side. And the most time you can take, then, you know, the better off you're going to be. And so, you know, I get the concerns. Now you're talking about guys are going to opt out and they're not going to play and, you know, it's going to run into – you know, NFL draft prep, and, you know, it takes everyone out of their physical recovery cycle to get ready for a fall season. I get all that, but there's a lot of really, really smart people in charge of these athletic departments. And so there's no question in my mind you can make it work, and it goes back to you know, the column I appreciate you bringing up from last week, which was you can't keep clinging to the way you've always done it. Because if we've learned nothing else in 2020, if you don't adjust, then, you know, things aren't going to work out for you.
No doubt. Ryan, tell me about Sidelines and Bloodlines. Very a cool childhood for you growing up the son of a college football official.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you mentioning it. We got a book coming out in about a month, September 15th. I co-wrote a book with my father and my brother, and my dad was a college football official at the FBS level for a few decades. And so, yeah, my first sideline credentials when I was 13 years old. That day I got completely wiped out, got completely crushed by a linebacker standing on the sideline with my camera. And everybody thought I was dead, and all I could think was, I have to figure out how to get paid to do this for a living. And knock on wood, figured it out. So, yeah, you know, if you've ever wondered what in the world is the coach screaming at the referee and what is the referee saying back to the coach, you know, those are the stories that my dad tells. And then my brother and I tell the stories about what it was like as a kid sitting in the grandstands listening to, you know, 65,000 people say that your dad was, you know, a blind, lost idiot. And it was quite the way to learn football growing up, and I'm excited about it. We're real happy about how it turned out, and, you know, maybe we'll humanize officials a little bit. I'm not expecting anyone to read a book and go, oh, hey, I love referees now. But, but I think they'll at least maybe respect them a little more.
Absolutely. Ryan McGee from ESPN has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Ryan, good stuff, man. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, boys. Stay safe.
You too.
Thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit more of what Ryan had to say there and also get into that Pac-12 conversation you brought up, Joe, about the demands the players have made. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.